RadioInfluence.com. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. It's football season, and I don't know about you, but my life seems to change a little bit during football season to where it becomes a little bit more regimented, where I know I'm going to be. I know I'm going to be on Sundays and Monday nights and usually on Thursday nights. And just when there's football, I'm in front of the television. And I talk about football as well, so I must enjoy it. Buccaneer season is here, and everybody else is in full swing as well. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL, about Hard Knocks, which I happen to be a big fan of, always have been. And then that Buccaneers game last week where you can't break down a preseason, especially a first preseason game, scientifically. You can't do it. It can't happen. That is the most vanilla thing. The first preseason game, literally, the other team doesn't even really talk about the opposition. The difference is, in the first week of the season when the Buccaneers were playing the Saints, they're going to break down every little piece of minutia about the Saints. They're going to know what their favorite defensive front is. They're going to know who their favorite coverage is. On third and 10, who's their favorite person to go after. So you're really preparing for that game. In the first preseason game, all you're doing is running the plays that you've been going over for the last little while against whatever defense they run. So there's no game planning. So it's really hard to evaluate talent. Or you can see some things going on within the game that could let you know whether you have a good football player out there or not. But evaluating a football team in the preseason is literally impossible to do. And a lot of people want to evaluate football players after one preseason game, and I know better, that's for sure. But for you guys that are big fans of Hard Knocks, I just actually watched the first episode last night. The Cleveland Browns are the culprits this year. I love Hard Knocks. I mean, I would say it's probably one of my favorite series or shows that I watch every year. I enjoy it every year, except for last year. I didn't like the Bucks one. I just think I know too much behind, you know, closed doors, and it just seemed real fluffy. The Browns one, the first one for sure, wasn't fluffy. I mean, it was really dark and really deep. For those of you that haven't got a chance to see it yet, I hope I'm not ruining it for you, but it was Thursday, so you should be all right. Or Tuesday, actually, it comes out. Hugh Jackson, who had just lost, head coach Hugh Jackson for the Browns, had just lost his brother 7 days prior and then lost his mother, okay? So in a one-week span, he lost his brother and his mother. So they probably went and asked Hugh Jackson and all those front office people in the offseason whether they want to do Hard Knocks or not. For the Cleveland Browns, that's a no-brainer. You're 0-16. I mean, it can't hurt, can it? It can't hurt the morale of a team if you're 0-16. And I've watched one episode, and I'm already kind of falling in love with them. Like, I want them to win now. But the Hugh Jackson situation with him losing his brother and his mother, I don't know if when he signed up for this, he intended to be on camera grieving. Because, you know, when you just find out your mother passes, there's no way to hold that back. I don't know of anybody that ever did. And when there's cameras in your face, that's just not a comfortable thing. I think it's got to be uncomfortable for everybody out there. But, you know, the whole episode itself, I enjoyed. My old offensive line coach, Bob Wiley's out there, put out a couple LBs, but that's okay. And you just saw a couple things like Jarvis Landry is their new superstar wide receiver, and he's a bad man, okay? They showed him working out in the weight room. And you know, I'm kind of a weight room guy my whole life, and I like to be impressed in a way. I like when people are doing exercises in the weight room that are impressive. He was doing exercises on the half ball or the BOSU ball, and there's nobody listening that could have done that. I don't care how good of an athlete you think you are. And he just jumping and catching the ball with one hand, and he's a freak. He led the whole league in receiving last year. So, you know, there's some people hoping for the best, you know, for the Browns. I don't know if they're good enough to contend after being 0-16, but Jarvis Landry got up in front of his whole wide receiving core, and there was a couple people that weren't practicing. Boy, and he ripped them one. That can go both ways. Now, I get it. You're a veteran player. You're out there practicing. Nothing irked veterans more than a young player on the sideline, okay? So if I'm in my eighth year in the NFL and we got some kid who's been in the league 2 years and never played and he's playing right guard and I'm a starting right guard, all of his reps have to go somewhere. I'm going to get some reps. And as a starter, I do not want to see some young whippersnapper with snotty nose standing on the sideline while I'm busting my ass on the practice field. So Jarvis Landry got up and pretty much ripped him a new one. And it goes both ways, though, because what happens if you get hurt? Everybody gets hurt. I'm going to say, if I'm sitting out, I'm hurt. I can't say that much for everybody out there. But if I'm sitting out, I'm hurt. Unless it was towards the end of my career where I just didn't want to be out there. My body just said, okay, that's enough. You can play on Sundays, but being out there was a little bit much. But the Cleveland Browns were fun to watch. Baker Mayfield, never been a huge fan. He's kind of a cocky kid, and I don't dislike cocky. He seemed to be handling himself well. Tyrod Taylor is a starter right now. Baker Mayfield could throw it, that's for sure. Now, I saw the statistic the other day. It's the most seasons without a 4,000-yard passer. And everybody knows how much the Browns love to draft quarterbacks first. The Browns haven't had a 4,000-yard passer since in 37 years. The Jets have it in 50 years. And here's what a part that tripped me out a little bit. The Bears and the Eagles had never had a 4,000-yard passer. I would like to believe that Carson Wentz last year was probably about to be 4,000 before he got hurt, but the Eagles have never had a 4,000-yard passer. I would say right now, if Carson Wentz is able to be standing at the end of this year, you could chalk that one up. That is going to be gone. Carson Wentz will have 4,000 yards passing this year. The Bears and Trubisky, not quite this year, although the kid looks pretty good. So let's get to our beloved Buccaneers. You want to get out of preseason without any ridiculous injuries. If you saw the linebacker for the Dolphins on Thursday, he looked like he tore his knee out the socket. You're done for the season. Doesn't seem like a big deal. He's a backup linebacker, but he's a backup linebacker. He plays a lot of special teams, and, I mean, it's hard to replace those guys. And you see guys like the young running back from the Skins, Darius Geis, he's out. ACL out for the season. And as a running back, you don't know how you're going to come back from that. You have never even played in the league yet. And then you're going to try to come back from something. That's tough sledding, that's for sure. But after watching that game on Thursday, once again, I'm not evaluating this football team as a whole. All I'm going to do is talk about some individuals and what I saw from them and I guess what I expect from the players as we go forward. A lot of things aren't as they appear in preseason because, I'll give you, for instance, defensive linemen, they all look good in preseason. You know why? Because everything's so vanilla. The quarterback's going on the same cadence and count all the time because he doesn't want to jump off sides. It's preseason. You've only been together for 2 weeks. So he's not going to go on one and three and on first sound because you want to get out of preseason looking crisp and clean. And if you're trying to, you know, dupe defenses, most times your offense is going to get messed up. So defensive linemen look great, and they're jumping on the second count every time, and they're going to look good, okay? We had one sack, I believe it was, by Gerald McCoy, and Gerald McCoy looks the same every preseason. And here it comes. But he looks the same every preseason. He's unblockable. And during the season, he's exactly the same every time. So I don't even want to hear nothing. I could tell you how it's going to turn out. I told you last year how it's going to turn out, and it turned out exactly like I said. Exactly. So that's what we have. The fact that Vita Vey is not out there is still not a good situation. He's a kid that's missing out some really, really crucial time. But I'm watching some other things like DeSean Jackson looked pretty good. From what I hear in training camp, he's looked really good in practice. Coming out the back at least once a day, which is good, which he has to do. But there has to be something between Jameis and DeSean and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm not worried so much about Ryan Fitzpatrick, which sounds crazy. Because, you know, as a veteran player, the guy's been in a lot of different games, been in a lot of battles. He really makes great decisions, okay? And I'm still getting the question. What happens if Ryan Fitzpatrick goes 3-0? At first, I said Jameis will start. I'm not sure about that anymore. When I'm sitting here watching the feel of the team, I'm almost seeing like Ryan Fitzpatrick walking around as a starter, and Jameis is walking around kind of acting like the backup. So if they go 3-0, it might not even be a decision. The offense might go, we're not going back. If they're winning, everybody wants to win, okay? It doesn't matter if you hurt anybody's feelings. Nobody in the front office gives a rat's ass about Jameis's feelings. So I don't know what's happening behind closed doors. So if Ryan Fitzpatrick goes 3-0 against those three teams, and he deserves to stay in, I wouldn't hold my breath on that one anytime soon, okay? That's definitely not a holding breath type thing. But he makes really good decisions. He's a smart football player. You see, everybody makes, wants your quarterback to run. You really don't want your quarterback to run. But when he decides to run, he has to run effectively. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is a really good athlete, first of all. And when he decides to tuck it and run, he knows exactly how many yards he needs to get, and he gets his old ass down, okay? And that's a feel thing. If you remember Chris Sims, when Chris Sims was our quarterback, Chris Sims had a great arm. He really didn't have much feel on the football, and he didn't have much feel for the game. I think there was one year where he started the majority of the games and didn't rush for one first down. Fitzpatrick, I see out there, he's moving things. He's a general, no doubt. Let me tell you about one of our new sponsors, Blue Chew and BlueChew.com. For those of you that need a little help in the sack, nobody wants to admit that. Everybody wants to believe they can still get it like they were 18 years old, but being 51, things change real quickly, and you need a little bit of help. You need to go and check out Blue Chew at BlueChew.com. It's chewable. It's real easy. You don't need a pharmacist, and it does the same thing as those other crazy pills do that you need a pharmacist for and end up giving you a headache. So if you need somebody, need a little help in the sack, and I'm going to tell you what, it definitely helps. You go for a long time, and your significant other is going to be very, very happy. So if you want to act like a champion when behind closed doors in the sack, you got to check them out at BlueChew.com. And what you do, for a limited time only, you get your first shipment free if you put in the promo code Beckles, BECKLES. So go to BlueChew.com, put in the promo code Beckles, and you're going to get your first shipment for free. And then you sit back and your significant other will reap the benefits. Enjoy. Now, Ronald Jones, I'm hearing good things and I'm hearing bad things. I'm hearing how great of an athlete he is. It's pretty evident. He's got some wheels. But I've also heard he's putting the ball on the ground, and he dropped the ball Thursday. It's a big deal. I mean, if you go through training camp and the rumors are that you're putting the ball on the ground, and in the first preseason game you drop a ball, that's a big deal, okay? If Mike Evans drops the ball, it wouldn't be as big of a deal, although he's had problems with drops as well. So there's little things in the game that you have to look for. JPP, in regular defense, I didn't see him do a whole lot pass rushing-wise. Against a run, I did see him manhandling some tight ends, which he should do. But from what I hear, he's a beast out there. In practice, nobody's blocking him. I told you that Damar Dotson described him as Gumby. And he's just a long football player. And he's going to cause problems for a lot of people out there. So the pass rush in general in that first preseason game didn't impress me all that much. I didn't see a lot of people beating their man one-on-one. And we're definitely have to see a lot more of that going into the football season. Now, I'm becoming a fan of Peyton Barber. I've always liked the way he runs. He runs real hard. I like hard running backs. I don't like tippy-toeing running back. I like people to find a hole, hit it, go, get your yards, get the most out of what you have. And if you look back to his story coming up, I guess he left school early. He lived in his car before. He's been homeless. He had to had to make money to get his mother a home. And I mean, I love stories like that. Stories like that, the guys are going to fight through some adversity. They're going to fight through some pain to get what they need accomplished. Because we need a bunch of dogs out there this year. Okay. That's the one thing that I still want to see a little dog out there. And I'm sure Dirk Cutter would love to see it. I'm sure all the coaches, I know Brenson Buckner would like to see it, because the best teams out there are mean. They're mean football teams. when I was coming through, we would play against the Saints defense, always mean. And I mean always mean, top to bottom. You play against Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's defense was always mean. And I mean always. Chicago had some mean defenses, but you knew Baltimore, mean. All right? You have to have an attitude. The Bucs' old defense, mean. And mean doesn't mean fighting. Meanness means you're going to get punched in the mouth. Because way back when you were a Buccaneer, when you came into Raymond James, way back when, and you had an average quarterback, you had no chance of winning in Raymond James Stadium. None. That's because they were having a tea party right about your quarterback. Sapp, all those guys. Simeon, they were coming after him. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to we're going to get after every quarterback because we've come a long way from there. Because we make quarterbacks as comfortable as anybody in the NFL. And there's certain things we did last year that if we do it again this year, we'll be 5-11 this year. I mean, coming last in the leagues in sack and in coming last in the league for quarterback pressures, you just don't win many games. Offensive efficiency in the red zone, the Bucs were terrible. You got to score when you get in there. When you got players like Mike Evans and O.J. Howard, big old targets, Cameron Brate is excellent in the red zone. There's no reason for the Bucs not to have a high percentage in the red zone this year. They're heading over to Tennessee, I believe, tomorrow, and they got a couple practices with the Tennessee Titans. When you go practice another team, they'll all say they want to do it. They don't, okay? Because the intensity ramps up tenfold when you're playing against somebody with a different uniform on. And you just don't know much about these players. I've done it quite a few times, and it sucks, okay? It seems like every play you have in the practice is game intensity. Everybody's watching, and there's a lot that goes to it. And it's not like when I'm blocking Warren Sapp or blocking Brad Culpepper or whatever defensive lineman was across from me. It goes to my brothers, you know, so you only go so hard. But when you're playing against some other dude and some other team, you're supposed to hate each other. So the intensity ramps up, and I've seen some wicked, wicked, wicked scraps. And they're going to happen, that's for sure, because everybody's been hitting just your own teammates. And I play for some coaches that really didn't give a crap if you fought. And I play for Tony Dungy that just said straight up, no fighting. Straight up. And Tony Dungy said the first day, we will not fight each other. We are teammates. We're brothers. We will not fight. And the second practice, we had a fight. And that's when everybody first got a glimpse of what Tony Dungy was about, when he pulled everybody up and he says, I have a certain amount of rules and you will abide by my rules. And I said, no fighting, and that's not negotiable. And that's the way Tony Dungy ran the ship. I mean, nothing he did was negotiable. So they're going to head over to Tennessee. You have to figure Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, who are still attached to the hip, and they always will be. I would think it would be kind of embarrassing for Jameis to roll up in there as a second string quarterback, because that's what he is. He knows he's being compared to Marcus Mariota and will be forever. Regardless, I would think that would be embarrassing to say, hey, Marcus, what's up? And then what's Marcus going to say next? Oh, man, hey, you've been going through some stuff. I mean, something has to be said, because, you know, these guys came in together and they know they're going to be compared to each other. They know that. And it's got to be a tough situation, because I would hope that Jameis has enough pride to feel embarrassed. Seriously. And I think that's essential. So they're going to head over there to Tennessee. The Bucs still have some questions. Can we find the kicker? Can anybody kick? Because, you know, we make a field goal and it seems like it's Mardi Gras, like it's a big deal. This Catanzaro dude, I don't know a whole lot about him. He missed an extra point, missed a field goal, and he just doesn't look comfortable. I tell you, and then everybody, this is what the average Buccaneer fan says every year. Well, if we had a kicker, we'd won 6 more games. Bullshit. Every team in the league loses by a little bit every week, just about. If you made that kick in the second quarter, the whole complexion of the game would be different, okay? The Buccaneers didn't outplay many teams last year. That's why they were 5-11, period. And when I mean outplay, I mean outrush. out tough, cause some turnovers. We don't do all those things. And before the Buccaneers do that, they're not going to win a lot of football games. They're not. So, you know, just talk to my boss at 102.5, John Brennan, who's one of the biggest Bucs fans out there. And I said, what do you think about this year? And he said, man, I just want to go 1-3 that I think, well, and I go, 1-3? I go, you go 1-3, your season's over, bro. He goes, yeah, well, I said, you don't go 1-3 and make the playoffs. You just don't. Nobody does. In this division, so you're going to go 1-3 and you haven't played Carolina and Atlanta yet? That's not going to work, okay? It's not. The Bucs, if the Bucs don't go 2-2 in the first four games, they're in trouble. Go and look. Go and look at that schedule. That schedule comes out of the box. And when you're 1-3 and all the booty holes are puckered up at one Buc place, that's not really conducive to success. It's just not. I've been in those buildings. And when you're 1-3 and you suck, your coach is pissed. The GM is pissed. And you know who else is pissed? Your line coach is pissed. So we used to go into the locker room at times. You just finished losing a game. You're 1-3. You walk in the locker room and you can hear a cricket. And I hear somebody goes, coach's got some tight booty holes today. And then you know it's just going to be a long week. Then you know that the head coach, the GM was cussing out the coach. The coach was cussing out your line coach. And then somebody else has to get cussed out. And that's going to be you. So when you're 1-3, it's not impossible, but you don't dig out of that hole very often, especially with the schedule that the Buccaneers have. So obviously a fast start is essential. And we can say that about any team out there in the NFL. Now, if anybody wants to email me, they can email me at ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. And we got Jeff Auerbach that basically was asking me about my boy who can't stay healthy, Noah Spence. And Noah Spence was out there, made a couple plays the other day. It's one of those guys where I keep on hearing his name as supposedly to be an impact player, but I don't really see anything. I haven't seen anything yet. Supposedly the guy's had four dislocated shoulders and rotator cuff surgeries, and that's not good. Shoulders and football don't really mesh. They're not good for each other. I was blessed to have had some healthy shoulders, and I had a sprained AC joint one game. Sprained my AC joint during a game. The next game I had to play, shoot my shoulder up. And that was the worst game I ever played in my whole career. You can't fake shoulder pain. And if you don't have your reins on your shoulders, it's impossible to play some good football. And when you've had that many shoulder surgeries and shoulder pains, it's just going to be hard to just throw your shoulder into somebody. Your brain's going to say, don't do that again. That's not smart. So I'm hoping that Noah Spence has a great year, but let's not ask too much of him. Let's have him as the changeup guy that comes in maybe a nickel to bring a little speed to change things up. Let's not put Noah Spence out in the field 40 and 50 snaps a game, because obviously he doesn't have the wear and tear in his body to last through that long season. So the Bucs are down one preseason game. Now they got to head to Tennessee, hopefully get that out, come out unscathed and without any serious injuries. And it'd be nice to get Vita V back on the field. And once again, get some of the combinations out there that are going to be playing with each other, the DeMar Dotson, some guys like that. So it'd be nice to see a few more names out on that football field this week against Tennessee. Well, I'll be watching, and there's stuff happening all week long in the NFL now that it's started up. Fantasy football is right around the corner, so we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. And other than that, man, it's football season. Let's get it on. I hope everybody's excited like I am. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Hard to watch preseason games, people ask. Starters don't play at all. What do you look for? Really important, folks. Yeah, starters don't play a lot. If you watch a football game and you know your football team, starters are a misnomer. situational football means, you got more than 22 starters. The offensive line, you've got a starter. Quarterback, you got a starter. Yeah, you have your best receiver, your second best receiver. You have that. You have a tight end. But you're talking in different packages, especially on defense. You've got guys that play on rundowns specific, passing downs specific. You've got multiple guys in the secondary. You've got special teams, which no one pays attention to, but should. The importance of being able to cover, being able to block, be able to make plays, to be able to make a difference in field position. All those things are really important. It is not followed enough, paid attention to enough by the fan. And that's okay if that's what you want. But if you want to be a more learned fan, I challenge you to watch all aspects of the game. Watch how young guys play. Watch how the play progression takes place. Don't worry about scheme. Look at young guys, how well they play, how hard they play. They're going to make mistakes. This guy makes mistakes. Folks, that's all part of learning. Repeated mistakes is one thing. But really important to understand that when you're watching preseason football, you watch situations. Be not concerned about the score of the game. Be concerned about how the play is, the performance of the game.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.